This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Not to be that quiet. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A little bit better. Maybe inshallah after the lecture you'll understand why we want to get a little bit more inshallah. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in wa man wala ila yawmuddin. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. إن شاء الله I'm going to have to get straight to the point because we only have about 30 minutes and I want to fit everything in within that time frame إن شاء الله. This topic I think is one that is of great importance not only for our youth but for the entirety of this ummah, because this topic is one of the things that we as an ummah, all of us, because when I say we as an ummah, I'm referring to where Allah says, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً مُحِيدًا, that this your ummah is one ummah. So I'm referring to all of us, that one of the biggest things that are lacking in this ummah is this topic that we will discuss tonight insha'Allah ta'ala. And it is one of the things that causes us so many problems. Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, collected in his Al-Muwatta, a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was authenticated by Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, La bu'ithtu uttamimma husnul akhlaq. La bu'ithtu uttamimma husnul akhlaq. That I was not sent but to perfect and beautify your akhlaq, your character. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is saying something extremely important. He is saying that I was not sent except for one reason, that is to perfect your akhlaq. Because he says, La bu'ithtu, I was sent not but to perfect your character. So if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is laying so much importance on one single thing, that he was saying that I was sent for this reason, then that one thing must have huge importance. It must have tremendous importance. Having a good akhlaq apparently has huge significance in Islam. And through the few hadith and ayat of the Quran that I am going to show you tonight, I want to show all of you how important having good akhlaq is. Because if someone were to ask me, what is the thing that you think the Muslims are the weakest on from the entire ummah, I will say our akhlaq. Our akhlaq is one of the weakest things about us. Our character. And because of that, we are seeing so many problems. But I think if we as an ummah were to realize how important our character is, we would decide to change some things. And if we decide to change some things, then some other things will change by themselves through the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you'll understand what I mean very soon. And if we're not willing to change, then we at least, at the minimum, need to train our children correctly. So at least maybe the next generation won't be like us. Insha'Allah ta'ala, they'll be better than us. In Imam Bukhari's book of Muslim Morale and Manners, it's also corrected by Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Ahmad and Ibn Hibban, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as is reported by Abu Darda radiallahu anhu wa arda, Abu Darda said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam told me that the most weighty thing, the heaviest thing that will go on your scale of deeds on the day of judgment is your good manners. Jazakallah khair. He said the most heavy thing, think about this now, the most heavy thing that will be placed upon your scale on the day of judgment will be your good manners. Not all of those times you stood in salah, not all of those nights you spent in qiyam, not all of those days that you spent fasting, not the sadaqah that you gave. No, what is the heaviest thing that will be on your scale is your akhlaq. And if it is the heaviest thing that will go on your good scales is your good manners, then of course the heaviest thing that can be placed on your bad scale of bad deeds of amal will be bad manners. Subhanallah. The heaviest thing. So ask yourself, if the heaviest thing that will be placed on my scale on the day of judgment is my character, how much time should I spend on my character? How much time should you spend on your character if it's the most heavy thing that will be placed on your scales? Apparently you should spend a lot of time, a majority of your time on your akhlaq. And you will see today, by the end of this inshaAllah, why your character is the most important thing about you, whether it is good or bad. Also, collected by Imam Bukhari in his Adab al-Murfad, and also collected by Imam Ahmad, Abu Huraira radiallahu anh says, I heard Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, say, the best among you, khayrukum, the best among you are those who have the best manners. The best of you are those who have the best manners. And whenever the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam began something by saying, khayrukum, the best of you, then it has strong importance. He said, the best of you are those who have the best manners. Also, we see in a hadith collected by Tabarani, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala also authenticated this hadith. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, the most beloved of Allah's servants, the most beloved of Allah's servants, and this is by Abu Huraira again, the most beloved of Allah's slaves are those who have good manners. The most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, the person whom Allah loves the most amongst us, is the person who has the best akhlaq. Subhanallah. So how important is our character? It's going to be the heaviest thing to go on your scale. It is the thing which the Prophet said, the best of you have the best manners. And now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us that the most beloved to Allah are those who have good manners. So how important is your manners? Also, collected in Bukhari, Muslim and Tirmidhi, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was never harsh. He was never obscene. He was never rude at all, at any time. Actually, we only know, as I told you all that were at the masjid yesterday afternoon, there was only one time throughout the entire seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we see any flaw in his character. One time, and Allah revealed an entire surah about it. Who can tell me the one time that wasn't at the lecture yesterday, because then you'll be cheating? Abasa wa tawalla. The one time the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam frowned and turned away from the blind man, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed an entire surah, putting him back on that great character. So we see that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had the best character. And he used to say that the best of you are those who have best manners, as we see here. Also, collected by Bukhari, Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, as narrated by Abu Huraira, if one has good manners, if someone has good manners, they may obtain the same reward as someone who spends all night standing in salah, and someone who spends all day fasting for the sake of Allah. Someone who has husnul khuluq, good manners, may receive the same reward as that person. So you may spend all night in salah, all day fasting, but someone who has good manners may receive the same reward as you. Subhanallah. Also, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was asked by Abu Huraira. And this is one thing I love about Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He was someone who wanted to find the easy way to do good. And that is becoming of a Muslim. It is not becoming of a Muslim to always look for hardship. Wallahi, we are not looking for hardship. Is there anywhere in the Quran or the Sunnah you can find for me a dua that was taught to us to ask Allah, Ya Allah, give me hardship? Can you find it? No. Allah commands us, قُلْ ربنا أتينا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, give me the good of this life. So we don't want hardship, we want good. And if there is an easy way to do good, that is the way the believer looks for. Because this is something that has hikmah behind it, wisdom. Finding the easy way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, he asked Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will take me to Jannah the quickest? What is the fastest way for me to get to Jannah? Because if there's a quick way to get there, Abu Hurairah wanted to go that way. And wallahi, if there's a quick way to get there, all of us should want to go down that path. So what did the Prophet ﷺ tell him? He told him, the quickest way to go to Jannah, and what will take you to Jannah the fastest, is taqwa wa husnul khuluq. Having fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, having taqwa for Allah, and having good manners. Those two things can take you to Jannah faster than anything else. Subhanallah. So how much does our character affect our deen? It affects all of it. Our character is like the glue that holds everything else together. With no character, you have no deen. With good character, you have good deen. A couple of more, inshallah. Also, we find reported that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, he was asked about doing good and doing good evil. What is khair and what is shar? What is good? What is evil? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, good is good manners. That good means good manners. So when Allah refers to good, He's referring to good manners, goodness. And when He said evil, shar is that which you do, which you would not want anyone to know about it. Something that you do that you would not like it if other people knew about it, that is evil. And good is good manners. Subhanallah. Now we come to the story of Imam Malik. How many of you know Imam Malik? The great Imam Malik. Everybody should know the great Imam Malik. If you don't know him, we need some serious history classes going on. Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, when his mother sent him to study, he said that my mother wrapped an imamah around my head. And she told me, go to the scholar of Rabi'a in Medina. And when you learn from him, learn from his akhlaq before you learn from his ilm. Learn from his character before you learn from his knowledge. And this is something that was very much known about Imam Malik, is that he had akhlaq that was pristine. His character was something that visualized the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his own life. There was a student of Imam Malik. A student of Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, he spent 20 years studying with Imam Malik. But in one year, he learned all of the ilm from Imam Malik. He learned the Quran, he learned the Book of Allah, he learned the Sunnah, he learned the Ahadith from him, he learned the Ahkam, he learned everything that he could contain from Imam Ahmad in one year. He memorized everything from the Imam. But he spent 19 more years with the Imam Malik. And when someone asked him about this later on, why did you spend 19 more years with the Imam Malik when you had an ijazah from him after 1 year? He said, I spent 1 year learning from the man's knowledge, and I spent the other 19 years learning from his akhlaq. I spent 19 more years learning from the man. I gained the knowledge in 1 year. 19 more I spent studying the man. This is how much importance the Salaf placed upon akhlaq. So much importance was placed upon the akhlaq by our Salaf. And this is what made them so great, was they were people of character. They not only had the deen on their tongue, they had the deen in their heart, and they had the deen in their limbs, in their actions. Also, when it comes to our akhlaq, if our akhlaq is not that of a Muslim, how should we expect that anyone would want to follow us? If our character, all of us, and I'm not pointing out anyone, singling out any group, all of us, if our character is a whole, is not good, and we're not acting according to our deen, and we're not acting and living according to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, why would anyone want to be like us? If we as a community have more problems that we cannot even solve amongst ourselves, then how can we expect to tell people that we can solve their problems? How can we tell the world we can solve all of your problems when we can't even solve our own problems? Why would anyone want to be like us? And we have to realize that fact. That's one thing about me that I try to stick to, is that I don't apologize for Islam, because Islam needs no apology. But I do try to be sincere and realistic about the fact that we as Muslims are not doing what we should be doing as a whole. I have to be honest about that. Because if I tell everyone that Muslims are doing everything they're supposed to be doing, they're going to look at us and say, well, I definitely don't want to be a Muslim then. Because most of the Muslims, most people I've met, are probably not the best ideal example of how we should be. Because that number of people who are actually living Islam, following the Quran in their lives, abiding by the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that number is decreasing every day. Rather than increasing, it is decreasing. And this is something that Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, when it comes to the ghuraba, the strangers, he said, it's not that Islam will go away. Islam won't go away, Islam will grow. He said, it is the people of the sunnah will decrease. The people who actually follow Islam, they will decrease. There may be more Muslims than ever, but people really upon the sunnah, they will go away. And that is what we are seeing happening. And that is unfortunate, because our akhlaq has deviated so far from that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we have brought ourselves to a state of humiliation, because we're not living that which we say. And Allah tells us in Surah Al-Saf, beginning the verse by saying Sabaha lillahi, Allah praises Himself, and then He says in verse 2, ayah 2, why do you say that which you don't do? Most hateful is it to Allah that you say that which you do not do. And then later on Allah tells us that the key to paradise is تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم. That the way to paradise is to believe in Allah and His Messenger, and to strive hard for the cause of Allah with your wealth and yourselves. To put action with your speech. To put action with your speech. Your akhlaq must match that which you profess. We know that Iman, Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the greatest of the tabi'een, he said that Iman, faith, is not just what you hope for. You can't just say, oh, I'm a Muslim, and I want to be a good Muslim, but I'm not a good Muslim. That he said, that's not Iman. Iman is something which you believe in, and it becomes settled in your heart, and then it becomes manifested by your actions. So if you have a bad akhlaq, then that bad character reflects something bad that is inside the qalb, inside the heart. Because what the heart contains is what the limbs are going to manifest. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, there is one flesh, piece of flesh in the body. If it is good, then everything else in the body will be good. But if it is bad, then everything else in the body will be bad. And he said that piece of flesh is the heart. And the heart is the seat of your character. Your heart, where your iman rests, is also the seat or the resting place of your akhlaq. So if you have bad character and bad manners, then something is wrong inside your heart, and you need to check it before it gets out of control and it ruins your akhirah, as well as ruining your dunya, your now. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us something very beautiful in the Quran. Because if you have a bad akhlaq, if your character is not good, then there is something wrong with the core of your deen. The core of our deen is ibadah. Ibadah. This is why Allah created us for ibadah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I created man and jinn to worship me. If your akhlaq is not good, then there is something wrong with the core of your deen as well, your ibadah. Not just your heart. Because someone who makes salah on a regular basis, someone who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should affect their character. If your salah, which is the key foundation of our ibadah, is the regular establishment of our worship for Allah, if you are doing that properly, it will reflect in your character. It has to. You know why? Because Allah says it has to. Allah tells us in His most noble book, وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ And establish the salah. Why? إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْحَانُ عَلِ الْفَشَاهِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ That indeed the salah will prevent you from going to evil, and it will prevent you from evil. It will prevent you from going towards fahisha, and it will prevent you from doing evil. So if you tell me that, look, I'm praying, but my character and my deen and my life is not getting any better, you know what I'm going to tell you? Then you need to check your salah. There's something wrong in your salah. There's something missing from your ibadah. Either there's no khushu, there's no taqwa, there's no ikhlas, something's wrong. Because if your salah is not affecting you for the time you pray salah to the next salah, then your salah is not doing you anything. You might as well be like a chicken pecking corn on the ground. The same benefit is happening. Nothing. Our ibadah should affect our akhlaq. Yahya ibn Mu'adh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said something very beautiful. He said that good deeds cannot make up for bad manners. Good deeds cannot make up for bad manners. It doesn't mean that you can have a harsh attitude or bad manners towards people, and because you give a lot of sadaqah to the masjid, you can cover up that bad akhlaq. He said, but good akhlaq, good manners may cover up your bad deeds. Good manners may cover up your bad deeds. Our akhlaq has so much importance. And I want to wrap it up. We only have three more slides, but I want to wrap it up. Because our akhlaq is so important. Because if we don't act like a Muslim, if we don't look and live like a Muslim as Allah Azza wa Jalla created us to be submissive to Him, then there is something wrong. There's something going on about us. And wallahi, what's going on in the world right now? And I want to finish with this, because this is becoming a great fitna to this ummah. It is a great fitna that is causing another great fitna. The so-called revolution that's happening all over the Muslim world is a fitna. And I'm going to tell you why. And this is not coming from Yusha, did not make up something out of his own mind. This is something that the ulama of repute are saying almost with an ijma, except for a few on the side. This is a fitna. Why? Because we as Muslims are trying to do something that Allah has already told us cannot happen. And wallahi, this is madness. Because the Muslims all over the Muslim world, they're trying to change the condition that is around them without first trying to change the condition that is within them. And wallahi, it'll never work. It has never worked in the past, nor will it work in the future. Why? Can someone tell me why? Why is it madness to try to change conditions around you without first trying to change what is inside of you? Can anybody tell me why? Because Allah tells us so in Surah Ar-Ra'd, I will never change the condition of a people until they first change what is bi-anfusikum, inside of themselves. So for us to think that by using our hands and our mouths to change the world around us, but we haven't yet changed what's inside of us, we think that we can bend the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the sunnah of Allah has no tilawah, it has no change. So first and foremost, I say it is a fitna, because it is diverting us away from the real struggle in this ummah, which is to purify our deen, to purify ourselves, and to put ourselves back in line with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then maybe we can work towards changing our condition, because then maybe Allah will have favor upon us and help us with that condition. But to think that we can change conditions in the absence of first trying to purify ourselves, we are only fooling ourselves. And we are only causing a fitna to the entire ummah. People are losing their lives over this, man, by the thousands. And nothing is going to change. There was a statement Malcolm X used to say. And it's a beautiful statement, but it is not an absolute fact. He said that shepherds may change. Shepherds may change, meaning the leaders may change, but people almost always remain the same. And that is a fact. And I'm going to end by telling you something very beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says about him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَالَ خُلْقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you were upon noble character. The Prophet was on the most noble character of all of us. And when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, كَانَ خُلُقُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Qur'an. His character was the Qur'an. He lived and breathed the Qur'an. He acted everything that the Qur'an says. As Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam fulfilled all the commands of Allah azza wa jal without hesitation. So if we think that we are going to change the world without first changing ourselves, we need to wake up. We need to wake up to what really needs to happen. And I'm going to finish with this one small story. Because everyone, especially the youth, they're getting somehow brainwashed into this idea that all of these so-called revolutions are good. Somehow, wallahi, I don't know what's going on. There was a time, Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala. How many of you have ever heard of Hassan al-Basri? This is my final story. If you don't know about Hassan al-Basri, if you don't know about Imam Malik, we need some serious history 101 for Islam going on here in Lewiston. Hassan al-Basri was one of the tabi'i. He was one of the followers of the companions. He learned from people like Uthman ibn Affan, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He used to be babysat by one of the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an infant. There was a ruler at his time. Does anybody know the name of the ruler at his time in the Muslim world? His name was Hajjaj. Hajjaj bin Yusuf. He was a wicked person. He used to murder Muslims. So there was some youth that came to Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, and they asked for permission to go fight Hajjaj. They asked for permission to go fight Hajjaj. Throw him out. You know what Hassan al-Basri said? First of all, he told them that the leader, the Amir amongst you, is a reflection of what is inside of your heart. So if your Amir is corrupt, it is because your hearts are corrupt. Then he told them, I will not give you permission. He said, because if this person is a punishment from Allah upon you for your wickedness, you cannot remove Allah's punishment with your sword. And he said, number two, if it is a test for you, then tests from Allah are only one through patience and tawakkul. He said, so no. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, obey your leader even if he whips your back, as long as he has established things salah. He said, no, I won't give you this. It's not according to the sunnah. You know what they did? They went and fought Hajjaj anyway. You know what Hajjaj did to them? Killed every one of them. And you know what Hassan al-Basri used to say about them? He said, by Allah, wallahi, no good ever came from that group of youth. They caused a fitna. Because he said, the youth are too quick to go to their swords. When by wallahi, the only way we will succeed in this is if we purify what is inside of ourselves. And if we don't hear that today, then seriously, we have a lot to learn. all of us, including me, if we cannot remember that reminder, small reminder, that change comes from here, not from here, then seriously, we have a lot of work to do. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to empower us to be able to change ourselves for the good, and to give us a good akhlaq, and to help us to purify our manners, and to teach our children the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that when they grow up, they can live a life that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that's the only success that will come to us. Success only comes from Allah. Success only comes from Allah. And wallahi, all evil comes from us and shaitan. That's it. All good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول كذا هذا واستغفر ولكم فاستغفره إنه الغفور الرحيم. جزاك الله خير. And I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow in the Q&A panel session that we will have later on. And for those of you who were not at the masjid yesterday, I can take 2 minutes to tell them. When you're walking, all of you probably saw this DVD table I set up out here. It is for the benefit of all of you and for the benefit of non-Muslims. There are two categories of DVDs on that table. On the right side, there are DVDs that are for Muslims, for the youth especially. And on the left side, those DVDs are all for non-Muslims. It is for you to learn how to give da'wah and to give them as gifts to non-Muslims. So I ask you to come and get some of them. I ask humbly for $10 for each one of them, because that helps me to make more that are given out for da'wah. It also helps me to continue to keep Guide Us TV running on air, and One Ummah TV, the first two Islamic television stations ever in North America right now are running because of the humble support of the Muslim Ummah of America and throughout the world. So please come to the table, get them. I can also take debit and credit and all of that good stuff. So come and see me and get them and give them to your non-Muslim friends. Make your children watch them so that inshallah ta'ala we can raise up another generation of Muslims who will be better than us, and they will take Islam to the next level. Wa jazakallahu khairan wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.